Why do I constantly give in to my flesh? It just seems like I can't control that. I can't control my lust and my desire to eat. I can't control my lust and my desire for sexual things. Like, I just can't seem to get control of my flesh. Why do I continue to make choices that are damaging to myself and to my relationships with the people that are in my life? The reason we do these harmful things is because we are spiritually blind. We can't see. But Jesus came to give us light so that we could see. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 here, in verse number 6, Paul writes, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." So he once again reminds us that this same God who in the beginning said, "Let there be light," and there was physical light in the world, that's the same God who shines his light into our hearts, shines the light of Jesus. And you know the emphasis there is on Jesus. It says, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God, notice this, in the face of Jesus Christ. In other words, God's light radiates from Jesus, that he is the light. Notice Jesus' own words in John chapter 8, verse number 12. "Then spake Jesus unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." So when we think about light, what are some of the personal benefits of light? What's some personal benefits for you for light? Somebody share something with me. Cameron, what's good about light? Yes, you can see. All right, any other benefits of light that's personal to you? Yes. All right, usually brings warmth. All right, good. Any other thoughts? Yes. All right, takes away fear, because in the dark, there's unknown. That brings fear. So light casts out fear. Any other things that you can think of that are personally beneficial? Yes. All right, it's comforting. There's a lot of great benefits about light. And maybe you haven't sat for a while to stop and think how wonderful it is to have light. Or how wonderful it is to be able to see. We take so much for granted. In John chapter number 9, Jesus does something to help us to understand what he means when he says, "I am the light of the world." Turn with me to John chapter number 9, and we're going to look at a few of these verses down in this chapter and try to get more of an understanding of what exactly did he mean when he said, "I am the light of the world." In John chapter number 9, verse number 1, says, "As Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth." And that's some important information, and Jesus uses this man as an illustration for a very specific reason. So this is a person who has never seen with their eyes ever. It's not that this person used to be able to see, you know, had an accident, couldn't see anymore, cataracts or whatever else. Like, no, this is a person who was born blind. Verse 2, "And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Now, for us, that seems like an unusual question. But once you understand the culture of their day, they believed that if you were born different, if you were born with some sort of handicap or any of those sorts of deformation or anything else, they looked at it as there has to be a root cause behind that. And the root cause, they believed, was somebody sinned. Either the parents sinned, and so this child was born without sight. Or they believed maybe somehow in the womb this child committed some great act of sin and so then ended up being born blind. That was the belief that they had. So this seems like an unusual question to us, but not really an unusual question for them. But they were kind of curious. Is he the one that sinned and that's why he was born blind? Or did their parents, did his parents do some sort of horrible thing and they were born blind? And notice the reason Jesus states in verse number 3. It says, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. See, Jesus states that the reason that this man was born blind was so that God could be glorified through his circumstance. See, God doesn't make any mistakes. God did not make a mistake that this man was born blind. He had a reason behind it. Now, this man probably didn't have any idea. He's going through his entire life not being able to see, trying to stumbling and bumbling around, begging for people to give him some money and some food so he can survive. No idea why this happened to me. But the reason was that God wanted to be glorified in his life. God doesn't make mistakes in this man's life. God doesn't make mistakes in your life either. Sometimes we make some mistakes. And sometimes I have to pay the price for my stupid choices. And you do too. But God doesn't make mistakes. God made you the way that you are because he wants to be glorified in your life. You are in the family that you're in, not by mistake. Doesn't matter whether your parents intended to have you or not. Sometimes we have some of those surprise babies. God doesn't make mistakes. So you're in the family you're in because God wants to be glorified in that circumstance. You are created the way that you're created so that God can be glorified in your life and through your life. So he says, no, nobody sinned. This is not anybody's fault. The reason that he was born this way is because I want the works of God to be manifest. That word manifest means to be revealed. And that's exactly what light does. Light reveals things to us. With the mask on in the dark, my wife is not exactly sure where the edges of the stage are. She's trying to feel around. Take the mask off, and what happens? I can see. So I know exactly where these steps are. I don't have to get down and kind of feel for them. I know where they are because I can see them. That's what light does. It reveals things to us. And he says the reason that he's born this way is I want to reveal some things. And Jesus says in a couple verses in John chapter 9, verse number 5, he says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. In other words, I want to reveal some things in this world. That's who I am. And we continue on and notice what happens here in his interaction with this man. In verse number 6, when he had thus spoken, so Jesus just got done saying, I am the light of the world. Now he's going to prove it. And one of the things that I think is so fascinating about this portion of Scripture is this man never asked Jesus to heal him. Throughout Jesus' ministry, there are people who are shouting, hey, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Come and heal me. There are people, not just one woman with the issue of blood. There was a number of people that walked up behind Jesus, reached down and touched the hem of his garment and were healed. So there were a lot of people that sought Jesus out for healing, multitudes of people. So many so that the Bible tells us the world cannot contain all the people, the stories of all the people that God healed. This man doesn't ask for healing. So Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Then notice what he does. He proves it. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground, made clay of the spittle, and anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And I love this, because this seems crazy. Jesus is like, I'm the light of the world. Then he's like, spits in the dust, picks it up, kind of makes some balls of dust and spit, and puts them on the guy's eyes. Fantastic. Jesus has never healed a blind man like this before, by the way. Never done it. He's reaching this guy in a brand new way, which I think is cool. Because you know what? The way that God reached out and gave me spiritual sight is probably not the way he's going to reach out and give you spiritual sight. See, the way that you were reached may not necessarily be the way that God's going to reach your neighbor, or God's going to reach your coworker, or God's going to reach your family. Let's not be afraid of God working in different ways than what you're used to. And let's not criticize different ways of reaching people. So he spits on the ground, makes the clay, puts it on his eyes, and notice what he says to him in verse 7, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. Now, I don't know how far away this pool was, but if I was the blind man who just got spit clay in my face, I would think that's wherever the pool is, it's a little too far. I want to wipe this off my face right now. And you're lucky I can't see you, Jesus, for, you know. So he does it. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. So he listens to what Jesus says, and his eyes are healed. He can see. I didn't ask for this. Jesus just did it for me. Man, what an awesome thing. But you notice that people notice the difference right away. I mean, if you see somebody who's like stumbling around every day of their life, and the next thing you know, they're like walking around like, oh, let me step out of the way of that. Let me walk over here. Let me jump over this. You notice the difference right away. And they notice the difference. Notice in verse number 8, the neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him that he was blind said, is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him, but he said, I am he. So they notice a difference right away. They're like, how isn't this the guy he's been there every day of his life, sitting there begging? Some are like, yeah, it's him. Some people are like, there's no way it can be him. It's somebody who looks like him and is saying it's him, but it's not really him. Man, what a sad thing when people have to kind of make up stuff because they don't want to believe what God can do in a person's life. When they kind of just like put it down what's happening in somebody's life and what God's doing because they don't understand it and they don't have faith. Don't let anybody squelch what God wants to do in your life or what he is doing. They don't believe, that's fine. You keep on believing. And you keep on trusting and you keep on hoping. But they see the difference right away. And one of the things that makes me stop and to think about for myself is, do people see a difference in me right away? Like, can they tell there's a difference in me? That I've trusted in Jesus? That he's done a work in my life? What about you? Do people know that there is something different about you because Jesus has done something in your life? If people can't tell that there's a difference in us, something's wrong. Because they ought to be able to tell. They ought to know. They knew immediately there's something different. The way that he walked was different. The way he lived his life was different. And the issue is some of us are still trying to live like we're blind. We still want to live in the darkness. We still want to live in our sin. Jesus, if he has saved us, he's forgiven us. We need to walk in the light. We'll talk more about that next week. So, little teaser for you to come back next week. Bring somebody who needs to hear it more than you, okay? So this place should be full next week. We all know people who need it more than us. I'm the only one? Okay. All right. So, he says, you know, I am he. They saw a difference. And he began to tell people immediately about what Jesus did for him. Verse 10 says this, people are questioning, how are your eyes opened? He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay, anointed mine eye. Now notice the information he leaves out. The spitting part. He leaves out the Jesus hacked a loogie on the ground and made clay. He's like, oh, Jesus, he made some clay and anointed my eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed and I received sight. So right away he begins to tell people, hey, look what Jesus did for me. And man, when Jesus has done something for you, you can't help but tell people. When Jesus has saved your soul, you can't help but tell people. When Jesus does great things in our lives, whether he touches and heals certain ailments in us, whether he provides in some miraculous way, we can't help but tell people about what Jesus has done for us. And he can't keep his mouth closed. Man, look what he did. Now, there were a lot of people that hated Jesus. All the religious people, they hated Jesus. So they come to this guy when they hear what happens, and they start to ask all these questions. Now remember, this guy was born blind. He's never seen Jesus. He doesn't know what Jesus looks like. So there they start to ask him all these questions about Jesus, and he don't know a lot, but he tells what he knows. And the same is true for you too. You don't have to know everything about the Bible to tell somebody about Jesus and what he's done for you. You don't have to know everything about Jesus. Man, I'm spending this year kind of just reading through the Gospels over and over and over, studying the life of Jesus. And it's amazing to me all the things I didn't know about Jesus and what he did. And I continue. It just excites me to continue to study his life, to learn more things. You don't need to know everything about Jesus to tell somebody what Jesus has done for you. That's all you got to do is tell what Jesus did for you. You may not be able to explain how Jesus is totally God and totally man at the same time. I can say the words, but I don't understand it. So we don't need to know everything. We don't need to understand everything to tell him. But he just tells what he knows. I love what he says further down in the chapter in verse number 25. So they're asking him all these questions over and over and over again. And he says this. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no. Talking about Jesus. He says, whether he's a sinner or not, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. So he doesn't know everything about Jesus. He doesn't know what Jesus looks like at this point. All he knows is that he was blind and Jesus gave him sight. That's all he knows. And so he's telling people what he knows. And we have a responsibility to tell others what he knows. Hey, Jesus made a difference in my life. Let me tell you about it. I was blind. Now I can see. Now, Jesus comes to find him. He doesn't know what Jesus looks like, so he's not necessarily going to be able to hunt down Jesus. But Jesus comes looking for him down in verse number 35. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, and don't overlook that phrase right there. Jesus heard they cast this blind man out. So Jesus goes to find him. It's not necessarily a bad thing to be an outcast from the religious people. I got no problem being an outcast from a bunch of religious people, whether they're Baptist or any other religion. Jesus heard that they cast him out, and Jesus goes to find him. And you may feel like an outcast, and you may feel like nobody cares about you, nobody loves you, nobody's concerned with what's going on in your life. Jesus is concerned. He cares about you. He cares about you so much. He has you sitting in this service this morning so that he can have an opportunity to speak to your heart. It's not an accident you're here and we're talking about this. So Jesus goes to him, and notice what happens here. He says to him, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" He answered and said, okay, so the blind man answers, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" He doesn't even know who he's talking to yet. He doesn't know this is the guy that healed him. Jesus said unto him, "Thou hast both," I love this, "both seen him," because he's never seen before, "and it is he that talketh with thee." Notice the response. He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. See, before he gave him physical sight, now he's offering him spiritual sight. He's offering him spiritual light. And that's exactly what Jesus does as the light of the world, is we are blind. We are in darkness. There is no hope for us spiritually unless we come to the light of the world. And Jesus wants to, and he can, open your eyes spiritually, but you have to believe on Jesus. You have to believe that he is the Son of God. You have to believe that he is the Savior of the world. And he says, "I believe." And at that moment, it's not just that he has physical sight, but now he has spiritual sight. And this is where Jesus gets down to the heart of the matter. And I don't want you to miss this, these last couple of verses. Okay, in verse number 39, Jesus says this, "For judgment I am come into this world." Whoa, I thought Christians weren't supposed to judge. We'll get into that message a different day. "For judgment I am come into this world," notice this, "that they which see not might see." Now he's not talking about physically here. He's talking about spiritually. He did something physical to prove the spiritual point. "That they which see not might see." Now notice this. "And that they which see might be made blind." So Jesus says, "I've come for people who are blind, that they might have some spiritual sight. But for those who," and this is the key part, "those who think they have spiritual sight, I've come to make them blind." Because until you realize you can't see, you're never going to see. And until you realize you're blind, Jesus will not open your eyes. Jesus in Matthew chapter number 5 said this, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall see God." Those who recognize spiritually, "I am bankrupt, I'm blind, I am in darkness," those are the ones that God reaches down and opens up their sight when they realize it's not about me, it's about Jesus and what he's done. And this is where Jesus gets down to the heart of all of it. He says, "Hey, if you're blind and you know it, I want to give you sight." And he came so that we'd understand that we've all sinned. We've all broken God's rules, and because of that, we deserve eternal death. We're in darkness. But the light of the world has come that you and I might have spiritual sight. And just as God opened up this blind man's physical eyes, he wants to open up your spiritual eyes. Once we have Jesus, the light of the world, we can see things that we never could before. You can determine that your behavior is selfish. So instead, I'm going to be generous. You can see that this choice that are based upon satisfying my own lustful desires, now instead, I'm going to build up my spirit. You can now understand that if I do this, if I say this, I'm going to destroy the relationships that are around me. So instead, I'm going to make choices that are going to put others first, that are going to develop and build up the relationships with those who are around me. See, once we have that spiritual sight, we're able to understand what we're doing, what we're saying, and we're able to make the steps we need to make. We're able then to avoid the things that we need to avoid, but not until you realize you're blind and you need Jesus to give you sight. We don't have to live in darkness. Jesus can and wants to open up your spiritual sight. You have to believe on Him. Let's believe on Him today.